16th chapter of the book of Romans. Chapter 16. This letter was written to the Romans by the Apostle Paul. He had a lot of brethren and sisters that he had much confidence in as to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the biggest part of the chapter is greetings, salutations to various individuals that Paul knows and loves and are keepers of the faith. And he concludes this letter with a doxology. Here in verse 25 and 26 and 27. And we want to talk a little bit this morning to you about what Paul says regarding the wisdom and the greatness of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he says in verse 25, "Now to him," that's God the Father, "Now to him that is of power." Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And that's what I want to talk about. Or at least I hope I can talk about the obedience of faith to God. Only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, as I've said, he concludes here with this excellent doxology wherein he describes God and also ascribes to God eternal glory. He describes God and then ascribes to God eternal glory. Now, two of the main attributes of perfection is manifested here. First, it's his power. He says here that he is able to establish you. That's the power of God. Apart from the power of God in establishing a believer in the truth, he would totter and fall on account of his own weakness and on the account of the subtlety of Satan if it were not for the power of God. to establish a believer in the truth as to how God saves sinners. If that was not done by God, we would fall into sin and error. Our weakness and His power are so great. Our weakness is so great and His power is so great, that is the power of the devil, unless God did establish us, we would fall. Hard to tell what we would do. And I want you to notice here in these verses that Paul calls it my gospel. To establish you according to my gospel. Not according to fairy tales, or not according to men's writing, but according to my gospel. That gospel, Paul said, that I received from Him. My gospel, because Paul is the preacher of it. If Paul is noted for anything in the Scriptures, it is for his ability to preach the gospel. There was no hesitation on Paul's part to preach the gospel. He said over here in the first chapter of the book of Romans, he said it was his heart's desire, I believe. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. A debtor to the wise and to the unwise. And he said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. And then he goes on and says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also unto the Gentile or unto the Greek. He calls it my gospel because he's the preacher of this gospel, and then he calls it the preaching of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, he calls it the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Now, concerning this revelation of the mystery, Paul speaks of the means whereby this mystery is made known. He says it's made known by the Scriptures of the prophets. Over here in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43 is a verse that establishes that. Chapter 10 and verse 43. Paul said in verse 42, well, verse 41, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remissions of sin. So, concerning this revelation of the mystery, Paul speaks of the means whereby it was made known by the Scriptures of the prophets, and by the authority of the everlasting God, and to the persons to whom it was made known, that is, the Gentiles and the inhabitants of all nations. What for? He says, for the obedience of faith. Let me read it all again. To Him, that's God the Father, that has the power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul calls it mine, and he calls it then the preaching of Jesus Christ, and then he talks about it, the gospel being a revelation of the mystery that was hid, which was kept secret since the world began. Not a complete secret, because there was some action going through the sacrifices, but not actually speaking in words that would describe the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was in type and in picture. But primarily to the majority of the inhabitants of the earth, the gospel was a mystery, and it is a mystery even to this day to the majority of the world's population. They know not what the gospel is. And so Paul says, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now his subject, understand, is the preaching of the gospel. But now is made manifest. It's made manifest now through the preaching of the gospel. And the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. But is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, what they said, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Jonah, and all the prophets, according to the commandment. They said all this according to the commandment of the everlasting God, that it might be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Well, then he goes on, we'll just keep that in mind there, for the obedience of faith. He said, verse 25 and verse 26, and the last part of verse 26 has been said in order that we might find out something about the obedience of faith. What is the obedience of faith? What does he mean there? All this was done, the gospel, a secret, a mystery, now is made known. Through and by the prophets and through the Apostle Paul and by the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ for this reason, for the obedience of faith. What is the obedience of faith? Alright, but he goes on here and he says, to God only wise. To God only wise. Well, he is said to be wise and only wise. There's nobody else that is as wise as God. The only wise God. Said to be only wise because none is wise as God. Knows all things. Can do all things. Needs no teaching or instruction from anybody. Said to be only wise because none is wise as he is wise. All the wisdom of others is from the wisdom of man and angels. And the wisdom of man and the wisdom of angels is only likened or to be compared unto a ray, just a one splendid ray of light compared to the wisdom of God. The only wise God. He is wisdom of himself. He really is wisdom himself. And he says, be glory to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. You remember we said some things here, I believe, Wednesday night, that the chief duty of man was to glorify God. And the chief duty of God was to glorify himself. And so the object of man and the object of God are both self, same, and one. The chief duty of man is to glorify God, and the chief duty of God is to glorify himself. Whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. And so Paul concludes in this doxology, to God, he said, only wise be glory. How? Through Jesus Christ forever. And now let me try to tell you what I think this means when it says, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Well, God-given faith, that's what we're talking about, that's what we're interested in, you and I, God-given faith. For faith is a gift of God. Turn with me there so we can establish this beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's not something that you conjure up or work up. It's a gift of God. Here in the book of Ephesians, verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, the gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. That's the reason our Lord said to His disciples in the last chapter of the book of Matthew, He gave them what is called the Great Commission, to go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? For the obedience of faith. What is the obedience of faith? Here in verse 8, chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith is the gift of God. Jesus Christ is the gift of God. All right? The gospel is preached for the obedience of faith. What is the obedience of faith? Now, God-given faith, faith that God gives, believes. Listen to me now closely. I want you to write it down if you can. God-given faith believes and obeys the testimony of God concerning His Son. That's what true faith is. He says all this that might be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And the obedience of faith, God-given faith, believes and obeys the testimony of God concerning His Son. Now, the life of a believer is a life of obedience. Obedience to God. Yet, listen to me now, yet it is not your obedience, it is not my obedience, but it's the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ that is our righteousness before God. Now, can I say that again? God-given faith believes and obeys the testimony of God concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the life of a believer is a life of obedience to God, yet it is not our obedience, but the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ that is our righteousness before God. The Bible says that Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, nevertheless, the principle remains the same. No obedience or sacrifice to God in one area will compensate for disobedience to the plain commands of God in another area. God commands us. He commands us not only to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but He commands us to follow Him. And this is where the hard part comes in. This other believing part seems to be an easy thing for us. It seems to be an easy thing for everybody. Everybody that you know of, almost everybody, 9 out of 10, will some way, somehow, identify with the Lord Jesus Christ by saying, "Yes, I believe that He was, I believe that He is, and I believe that He ever will be so. I believe that." But is that a evidence that they are saved? Not in the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith, God-given faith, is the life of faith which a believer lives. Now, God commands us that not only are we to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our main business in this life, as being a believer, is to follow after Him who hath saved us. To be obedient to Him. To be obedient to Him means to follow Him. You can't say that you're a believer if you don't follow Him. I give unto them eternal life and they follow Me, our Lord says. He commands us, lay everything else aside and put Me first. If you take a hold of the handle of the plow and let go, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. It's to follow Him. And secondly, it's to confess Him in baptism. If you think that baptism is a thing that's insignificant, well, then you're entirely wrong. It's part of the command of God Himself. It's an evidence. Go ye into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Follow Him. Confess Him in baptism. Go down into the water. Be buried with Him. Identify yourself with Him. Put on His cause. Put on His uniform. Swear your allegiance to Him. Follow Him. It's to be identified with Him. And He tells us that in the obedience of faith, we are to be identified with His people. If a man is a believer, if he believes the testimony of God concerning His Son, then he'll be identified with people that believes like he does. You being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you move to Utah, you wouldn't join the Mormon church, would you? You wouldn't go to a Mormon church, would you? I certainly hope you wouldn't. You wouldn't be identifying yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, but you'd be identifying yourself with the enemy of God and the enemy of Christ. We're to be identified with His people. That's what provokes me sometimes when I come up here on Wednesday night and see about 20 people here. That bothers me to no end. There's some that you can point your finger this way and that way and know they'll be there. And there's others that it's not that important to them. What I'm telling you about the obedience of faith, to the believer, it's a life of faith. We're to confess Him. We're to follow Him. We're to be baptized in His name. And we are to associate with His people for the honor and the glory of God and so forth. To be identified with His people. And certainly to hear His gospel. You don't go to a Carmelite church and hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you? You go to the Carmelite church, what do you hear? Be baptized for the remission of sins. They'll tell you that you've got to be baptized in order to be saved. You've got to be baptized if you're going to be obedient and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, but it has nothing to do with your salvation. It's fulfilling the command and the desire of God in Christ. Identify yourself with His people to hear His gospel and to separate ourselves from this world. We're not of this world. We've been taken out of this world. We are a people that has God for our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ for our Savior and heaven for our home. And we're not of this world. Separate ourselves from this world, especially from false religions. Separate yourself from false religion. And there's lots of it. Lots of it. And we're also told a command of God in Christ to love one another. We're to love one another. Brothers and sisters are we. With the elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God our Father. We're all one. What you have, what I have, belongs to one another, if necessary. And then we're told to pray. We're commanded throughout the New Testament, Old Testament life, that the people of God who believe the testimony of God concerning His Son, we do that for the obedience of faith. And faith is a gift of God. And we, as the children of God, adopted into the family of God, follow God in Christ. We're told to pray. When ye pray, He said, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And I told you here the other evening that even in our prayers, even when we pray, the first part of our prayer is worship and thanksgiving unto God. And when we get through with that, then we talk about our needs. But His worship and His praise comes first. His glory comes first, and our needs are second. And we're told pray, to get in the corner, to get in the closet, to pray. And not only to pray, but to give as He has prospered us. These are commands. His children are commanded to follow Him. His children are commanded to pray. His children are commanded to give to God as God has prospered him. And we're also commanded by God not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some men do. We're not to forsake. I've noticed here, there's times when we've had the Lord's Supper. To remember the Lord Jesus Christ publicly and openly. As a church, we're commanded by God, as oft as you do this, ye show forth the Lord's death till He come again. And sometimes we only have 25 or 30 people. Sometimes not that many. That's not right. That's not in accordance with the experience of the believers of the Bible, anyhow. I'll say that. Because he says here, he says that God's got the power to establish you and me. He's got the power according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ and the coming and according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret, but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandments of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Not our faith, but the faith of Him. But this command does not displace this command. When He commands us to be a witness, when He commands us to pray, when He commands us to love one another, when He commands us to do this and to do that. And I'm just citing some of these here for our edification. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Not to forsake ourselves from assembling together for the purpose of worshiping Him whom to know is life eternal. And then he said another command. He said, be not just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And all of these have something to do with the obedience of faith. And that's what Paul's talking about here. The obedience of faith. Obedience. It's one thing to say that I love Jesus, but it's another thing to manifest that love in some of these things that I've mentioned. Is that right, Pat? Try to love one another. Try to love me. I'll try to love you. There's nothing too lovely about me that would provoke you or cause you to love me. Not much about you for me to love you. But for Christ's sake, for God's sake, for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes I get tired and don't want to come to church. I'd rather stay at home. Sometimes I do. But that's not the habit. That's not the bent and the course of my experience. I'm a poor example, I know that. And you're a poor example. And when it's all said and done, we're all poor examples. And I don't want to live a lie. I want to be right about this. For the obedience of faith. Not my obedience, His. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that worked out this righteousness for us, wasn't it? You're not depending on your righteousness. You haven't got any. You got righteousness so-called in your own eyes and in your own mind. You might have a righteousness, but not a righteousness that will meet the needs of a sinner. You don't have that righteousness. That righteousness has been provided for the believing sinner by the Lord Jesus Christ in His what? In His obedience to death. He freely charges that to our account. We are accepted by God on the account of His blood and His righteousness, not our righteousness. It's all by the free grace of God. It's all a gift. Even this faith that I'm talking about is a gift of God. He gives us faith, reveals it to us, makes the love of Jesus Christ known to our hearts. Not too much to ask out of us and to follow Him, be dedicated to Him, be baptized in His name, to give of our time and our money as He prospers us. All these things, is it? Well, the Lord help us. We'll meet again this evening here. About what time? 6:30? 6 o'clock. This stand will be dismissed. You'll remember now.